Scripture reading taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 26. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believe that what they saw will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, for that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Kazuya-san, oh, you want to do this, Hiro?
マルコの福音書11章20節から26節まで日本語でお読みします。朝早く道を通っていると、彼らは先の一軸が根元から枯れているのを見た。そこでペテロは思い出してイエスに言った。先生、ご覧なさい。あなたが呪われたイチジクが枯れています。イエスは答えて言われた。神を信じなさい。よく聞いておくがよい。誰でもこの山に動き出して海の中に入れと言い、その言った言葉は必ずなると心に疑わもないて信じるなら、その通りになるであろう。そこであなた方に言うが、何でも祈り求めることはすでに叶えられたと信じなさい。そうすればその通りになるであろう。また立って祈るとき、誰かに対して何か恨み事があるならば許してやりなさい。そうすれば天にいますあなた方の父もあなた方の過ちを許してくださるであろう。もし許さないならば天にいますあなた方の父もあなた方の過ちを許してくださらないであろう。
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing? Good, good. You guys keeping up with the Olympics?
No.
Wayne is? Okay. Well, I'm not a big Winter Olympics fan, but it's been pretty exciting. I don't know. Maybe it's just because that's all there is to watch on TV when you don't have DirecTV. Anyways, just to be honest with you, and you know, honesty should be a priority at church, amen? As I was coming to church, my prayer was, I hope these next 3 hours would be the best hour of my week. That was my prayer. Now that's kind of assuming it's not the best 3 hours of my week. Just in my flesh, I guess, it's not the best 3 hours of my week. And so, I'm continuing to pray for the Lord. And I don't know whether it's just me because I'm a pastor that I don't necessarily see this as the best 3 hours of my week. Or if it's just, I know even as a Christian, as a devoted Christian, sometimes it'd be hard to go to church. Especially if like the pastor is not very engaging or exciting or, you know, a powerful speaker like myself. I'm sure you guys are all waiting to hear what I have to say, but is that kind of weird that a pastor has to pray that? Or do you guys sometimes wonder that yourself?
It's not unusual. Satan attacks us. He doesn't want us to enjoy church.
All right, there's the answer right there. But, there's probably a whole host of reasons, right? But let's press into that as a church. As JCCT, let's press into, man, I can't wait for Sunday to worship together as a community. I'm not there yet, personally. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if I'm going to get fired for that statement. But I'm not there yet, personally. And that's what I want to press into, though. I want to be like, man, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait to worship the Lord together as a community. I can't wait to worship together with the family of believers here in Tucson. That's one of my goals I have this coming year. Anyways, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who are so amazing, worthy to be worshipped, so generous, loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, Lord, the list goes on to just how amazing you are. And we just want to worship you, Lord. We want to give this time separated apart from the rest of our lives, Lord. Just make this time holy, sanctified, a sacred time, Lord, where we bless your name. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we started a series called The Art of Prayer, Faith and Forgiveness. Obviously, if you were here last week, I wasn't here, but we started this sermon series 2 weeks ago about faith and forgiveness. And the reason why I want to talk about faith and forgiveness, the art of prayer, is one of the most important aspects of spirituality that a Christian must grow in is the ability to communicate with God. And communicating with God, in a short sentence, that's what prayer is. It's communicating with God. And if in any relationship, the most important aspect is probably communication. If you guys don't communicate well sometimes, the relationship can go sour. But if you can communicate well, then it could also flourish. And so communication, when I say communication, it's not just talking, right? I'm communicating a whole host of things just by being here. With my Hawaiian t-shirt, you know, my shaved head, you know, my 5 o'clock shadow. It communicates something, right? If I were here in a tuxedo, it would communicate something else. Maybe this guy is too stiff or formal. I don't know. With this Hawaiian shirt, I want to communicate, hey, I'm a cool guy. I'm laid back, you know. I don't take myself too seriously, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that all communicates not even just by talking, but just by the visual. And so when it comes to the art of communication, everything is included. And even with God. And so when we communicate with God, you know, things are being said to God and God is saying things to us, and it might not be 100% verbal. So you feel something. Oh, God is communicating to me. You feel anxious. Oh, there's something being communicated to my soul, my spirit. You feel joy, or even just the visual of seeing a sunset, and all of a sudden you're reminded of God. God is communicating. And you could communicate back to God with like a, wow, that's amazing. And that's worshipful. But as we talk about faith and forgiveness, the art of communication, as we saw in our passage, and as I spoke on 2 weeks ago, faith in God, Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God, that is the foundation of seeing our prayers answered. And so I want the goal of you as a spiritual person to have your prayers answered. Amen? I don't want it to be, oh, maybe it'll be answered, maybe not. I want you to be excited and say, hey, you need prayer for something? My prayer percentage is about 75%. Or my prayer percentage is about 90%. 95%. Right now, I don't know, if I asked you, you know, what percentage of your prayers go answered? And then if you give me like a 20%, I'll be like, I have a shot. Okay, why don't you pray for me? I can't lose anything. But if somebody says, oh, well, whenever I pray, it happens. I pray that the storm stopped, and it stopped. I prayed that a dead person would rise and live, and he did. And you'd be like, wow, can you pray for me? Well, that's how Jesus was, wasn't he? And Jesus made disciples to be like him. And so in our life, one of the goals is to increase our ability to communicate well with God. And so the first thing, the first aspect of having our prayers answered, and I know this is a review for some of us who were here 2 weeks ago, but the first thing is to have faith in God. Faith is in God and is from God. And it could come from God in multiple ways. When I say it's faith from God, it could come in multiple ways. Faith can come just by supernaturally knowing something. Faith can come by believing in God's Word, Scripture. Faith can come in simply having that relationship with God and He just proved Himself trustworthy. And so you can have faith that God will show up because He's always showed up in your life. And so faith in God and from God is, it just comes in multiple ways. I don't know, I don't have all the list of how it can come, but it is from God and it's in God, and that is the foundation. Again, just to recap what I said, faith, spiritually, what it looks like is a title deed. It's a legal spiritual document. This is the Greek. It's like a legal document of having a right to something, a right to a property, etc. And it's also that inner conviction that that title deed is good because it's from God. Unfortunately, faith doesn't always end in answered prayers. And I gave you an analogy about faith is and seeing prayers answered can sometimes be similar to giving birth to a baby. And giving birth to a baby, most of you know, even if you've never had a baby, some of the things you need to stay away from when you're pregnant, right? You need to stay away from alcohol, you need to stay away from certain foods, you need to stay away from smoking and places where there's people smoking. In the same way, spiritually, do you know what you should stay away from? If you're pregnant and you're ready to birth an answer, a prayer to be answered, do you know what is detrimental, harmful to seeing your prayers answered? I don't know if I'm going to fully get into that today, but I want to start getting into it. Anyways, Jesus says, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, verse 23, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe, then it will happen. But it says, truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea. Since we're sort of like a small group today, is it okay to have like a mini Bible study? Sure? Okay, alright, good. Alright, so in Matthew, if you have your Bibles, turn real quick to Matthew. Let's go. It's just a short 5 minute Bible study. Matthew 11, chapter 23. So this is Jesus teaching his disciples some of the secrets of prayer. And Jesus, first of all, he lays the foundation, have faith in God. 23, it starts with truly. You guys see that? It's the next slide. Oh, sorry, go up. The other way. You passed. Yeah, there it is. So it says truly. I wish I had one of those cool red pointers. Truly. That word truly in the Greek, or I think maybe it's an Aramaic word, but it's in the Greek, truly is amen. It's a weird way to start a sentence or a statement, right? Imagine if I started to pray, I said, let's pray, amen. You'd be like, what? Did he just finish his prayer? Because amen is usually at the end of a prayer. But here, Jesus starts his statement with an amen. And he starts with an amen because it introduces a statement of pivotal importance. An amen is a, you know, they try to translate it to let it be, But here, Jesus says, amen, to signify, hey, listen up, this is going to be really important. And so when Jesus taught some prayer, he says, have faith in God, listen up. I'm going to tell you something important. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, I got one or two. All right. I saw the nonverbal amens too, so amen. Thank you guys for the nonverbal amens. He says, amen, I tell you. You see that word, if? If, obviously, I'm a Japanese major. I was a Japanese major. My bachelor's was in Japanese. My worst, what I hated most about my major was when I had to take grammar classes. There's grammar in Japanese. The reason why that was my worst, the most hated class is because I don't know English grammar too well. And so it's like, I have to learn Japanese grammar, but then I also have to learn English grammar, and my grammar just, it was like two classes in one class. But I know this much, if is a prepositional phrase, right? Meaning, there's conditions. So Jesus says, listen up, here are some conditions. If. Now what are some conditions? And that's what I want to look at today. One of those conditions, the first thing he says is if you say. And one of the most important conditions, starting from the foundation, is actually proclaiming something, saying something. Saying, I want the next 3 hours to be the best hour of my week. That is a proclamation. I'm not just thinking it anymore. It takes on a different tone when you start saying it. Jesus, would you please help me with my job? That is not thinking no more, but then it is a statement. And in the spiritual realm, statements like those are very powerful. Jesus is trying to teach us, when you pray, one of the first things you must do, the prepositional phrase, if you say. So even in your own life, begin to proclaim things. Father, as I go to work, may you give me favor with my coworkers. It's a good prayer to pray. Give me favor with my finances. Give me favor with getting a job. Give me favor at school. Those are all statements that you can make that is powerful in the spiritual realm. And that's the first thing that Jesus says is a condition to seeing prayers answered, is you got to start saying it. Now let me ask you, are there areas in your life where you want to see something changed? Yeah, a couple of you guys. All right, the other for the rest of you whose lives are perfect, you go to sleep. Okay, go to sleep. Go ahead. I'm all right. But for those of you who do want to see change in your life through prayer, and let me tell you, prayer is one if not the most powerful agent to see change. The second, close, and probably just as important, is obedience. Prayer and obedience. But without prayer, seeing things change will be very difficult if it requires God. Because God moves, for some reason, through prayers. He moves through our prayers. The spiritual realm, it works through the interplay of prayer. And so begin to say things. Even as you drive to work, even if it's just as quiet as under your breath. Father, I pray these people would listen. Father, I pray that whatever is distracting this congregation will stop right now. you have to say. And Jesus goes on to say, if you don't doubt, so it's what basically it's not just lip service. So prayer is you have to say it, but it's not a magical incantation. It's not like if you say the right words and the right formula, it will work. But let's look at some conditions. So there are certain conditions that can sabotage our prayers. I might get into that today, but what I want to start off with, there are certain practices that can facilitate answered prayers, and I want to look at that. And these are some verses that just, you know, right off the top of my head, I remember some verses about prayer, and I just want to look at these. There are certain practices that can facilitate answered prayers, and one of those is a saying where Mark 11:24 says, "So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours." The second, Luke 18:1, it says, Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray, and pray always and not lose heart. Pray always and not lose heart. The thing in Mark 11:24 that we might not see, and what Luke 18:1, affirms is this. That prayer and believing isn't just a one-time thing. It's not just a one-time thing. Don't say, oh, you know, it's, Jesus says, pray and believe, so I just have to pray it once, and it'll work. That's not what Jesus teaches. And if you look at 11:24 in the Greek, it's like a continuous prayer. Keep on praying. Ask and keep on asking. Believe and keep on believing. So Luke 18:1, he tells us another parable of a prayer, and this parable is about a widow, and she kept on believing. She was so persistent. And the parable, I think some of you have heard this parable, but it's about a widow who has a son who's thrown into prison unjustly, and the widow goes to the judge and asks the judge, "Let my son out." And the judge says no at first. But it says the widow continued and continued and continued to persistently ask the judge, "Let my son out," to the point where the judge finally said, "This widow is going to wear me out. I'm going to let her son out." And Jesus says, "In that way, I want you to pray." It's good background music. Keep it on. No, it's okay. It's all right. It woke some people up. They thought it was their alarm. They were like looking for their snooze button. But Jesus, when we start praying for something, say, you know, I pray to have favor at work, and it doesn't happen the first time. Don't say, "Oh, God didn't answer my prayer," or "God didn't hear me." There are other things at work and at play that we're not aware of, where God is saying, "I want you to keep on praying." I don't know what those things are. Well, I could kind of assume what they are, but I'm not going to say it. But and so when you start praying, say if you have a sickness, say you're dealing with something, physical pain, and so, and you have it and you pray for it, and it doesn't work the first time, that doesn't necessarily mean God didn't hear your prayer. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have the title deed to a healing. It just simply means you need to press in and continue to believe and continue to pray. So, you know, if you have a relative that's suffering from an illness, pray. Let me tell you, if your prayers are answered the first time you prayed it, I will be very surprised. And actually, it might ruin you as a person. You might be like, "Man, I must be the greatest person in the world." And, you know, that's pretty prideful, and God doesn't like prideful people. But if you continue to pray, and continue to pray, and continue to press in, and then see the prayer answered, guess what? Not only does God get the glory, but something changes in your heart as well. You learn to trust in Him, and not just the power of your prayer. And it's very just, it's very intimate in that manner. And so let me just encourage you, if you're praying for something and you haven't seen that prayer answered, don't give up. Don't stop believing. Especially if you have faith that that is from God and is of God. Don't give up. Don't stop believing. Don't stop proclaiming it. Now, I don't want you to be delusional and say, I already have it. Be honest and real and say, I don't have it. I'm going to continue praying for it. I don't mean to toot my own horn. But yes, I do pray for you every day. And some of the prayers have not been answered yet. So I'm keep on pressing in. I'm just saying. But I am praying for you every day. Even you, Nathaniel. You're a newcomer. Yes. But, you know, if I don't see that prayer answered, I don't give up. I keep on pressing in. That's one of my jobs as a pastor. It's one of the blessings I have as being a professional, I guess, Christian, is I have time to pray, and I pray for you every day. And that's what something I think all of us need to get into a practice of having, praying every day, seeing some of the things unanswered, pressing into it. Here are some other some other things that certain practices that can facilitate answered prayer. John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's an amazing promise by God. Whatever you wish will be given to you, but there are certain conditions. What? If abiding in me and my words, for those of you who are keeping count, that word there is not graphe, but rhema. If my rhema abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Second condition. First one, ask, keep on asking. Second one, abide in Christ, and be intimate with Christ, abiding in Him. The third one here in James 5:16, I'm running out of time, so I'm going through this fast, but 5:16 it says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Now, what is righteous? What is being righteous? Don't answer. Marilyn, I cut you off. I saw you. I saw you about to take out your gun and shoot. But righteousness, and there's at least two sides to righteousness. And righteousness is one, right relationship with God, which can only come through God, through receiving what Jesus did on the cross. That's a right relationship with God, having that righteousness. The second aspect of righteousness is obedience. Is obedience. That's why we could practice our righteousness. And Jesus teaches on practicing righteousness, and we did a series on practicing righteousness, right? Three things He talks about when He was talking about practicing righteousness. Giving, praying, fasting. Those are certain practices that Jesus assumes we're doing, and so He teaches us how to practice those righteousness correctly. But those are at least four things that we must continue to do to facilitate prayers being answered. What are those four? Say it, keep saying, keep believing, abide with Christ, have an intimate relationship. So it's not just a vending machine kind of relationship where you put in your dollar and you get your Twix. And if the Twix gets caught, then you like shake the vending machine. That's not the kind of relationship you want with God. The kind of relationship you want with God is, you know, abide with Him, meaning have a relationship with Him. Have His rhema, meaning His spoken word in your life. Communicate with the Lord. And as you communicate, and the closer and the more one you are with God, He says, ask whatever you wish and it'll be yours. And the third, fourth finally here that we looked at was to have an effective and powerful prayer life is have righteousness in your life. And so if you don't have the righteousness of God, from God, That's an important thing to have. You might ask, well, how do I get the righteousness of God? An interesting story. Man, I got a lot of bad stories about being a pastor. Like, I don't know what your perception of me is of a pastor. I'm gonna break it. So I was driving home from all things a pastor's retreat. Okay? And this, so you know, you must think, oh, he must be on a spiritual high. But I was driving home from a pastor's retreat late at night. It's about past 12. It was from San Diego on the 8. Very dark on the highway. I'm just trying to get home as soon, fast as I can. So it's like a 6-hour drive and it's already past midnight. So, you know, I just want to get home. I see a car on the road and it's broken down. I can see it's just stopped there. And I'm like, oh gosh, okay, I'm gonna stop. And I noticed it was a woman, it was a lady in her 40s that was stranded. And so I stopped for the lady. And, you know, I said, you okay? And she was like, well, I ran out of gas. And so I said, okay, come on in, I'll take you to the nearest gas station. And so she gets in and she asked me, oh, where are you coming from? I said, oh, I'm coming from retreat. And she's like, oh, is it one of those spiritual cleansing thing? I'm like, no, I'm a pastor kind of thing. And she's like, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm like, great, I don't have to witness to you. That was like the, you know, I don't know. That it literally, those words literally came out. I said, great, I don't have to witness to you. I was kind of trying to be funny, but at the same time, that was something that I was like, oh God, please don't. You know, I just want to get home. I don't want to deal with anything. So I just broke some of your perception of me as a pastor. I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But that's what I said to her. And she was like, oh yeah, and then we were just talking. I took her to the casino because that was the only thing close. She had like $2 for gas. And she didn't have a gas container. So I'm like, okay, whatever. For me, spending $20 is a lot easier than to share the gospel. For some reason. I don't know. I don't know about you, but that is, I'm just babbling now. Anyways, I buy her the gas, and on our way back, she starts talking. We start talking about spirituality, religion, and all that other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we're all on a journey. I think she felt like she had to apologize for maybe some of her lifestyle choices and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, we're all on a journey and God is working with all of us. And I was just trying to, I guess, you know, put her at ease. And I'm not going to help preach hell and brimstone to you. Don't worry. I'm not that kind of person. But then, you know, I was just talking to her, you know, it's a relationship and, you know, God will work with you. And then on the way, you know, right before we get to her car, she's like, I want that. I'm like, you told me you're a Christian. She's like, no, I want that relationship you're talking about. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. And so I said, okay, just pray this prayer then. And so I led her and told her, I told her, you know, just repeat what I say. One of the things I said was, Jesus, would you come into my heart? And she prayed that prayer. I didn't even want to witness. God just orchestrated something so that she received Jesus in her. It's no credit to me, honestly. It's like, I was the last thing God wanted to use probably too, but I was the only one there. And he used me. And she received Jesus in her heart, and she goes back to her car, and we get her back on her feet, and she gives me a big hug, and she's just so excited. And so if you don't have that, you know, you may have a religious background, you may have gone to church, but if you never ask Jesus in your heart and have a relationship with God, that righteousness that is talking about for prayer of powerful and effective prayers, that righteousness is first having a relationship with God. Simply saying, you know, you don't need me to lead you into it, but just simply saying, Jesus, would you come into my heart? let him start something there. If you don't like it, hey, you can say, okay, Jesus, get out of my heart. But I've never heard anyone pray that prayer before. You start with, Jesus, would you come into my heart? That was the best decision you will ever make. And that is the beginning of seeing prayers answered. I want to get into certain things about practices that can sabotage our prayers being answered, but I think I'll stop there. And I encourage you, if you never ask Jesus into your heart, go ahead and pray that under your breath. Say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Best decision you'll ever make. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just want to learn how to pray and see our prayers answered. Lord, we want to see our families saved. We want to see more of our friends and families blessed at their workplace. We want to see, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We want to be able to abide in you, to live righteously, and to pray powerful and effective prayers, and to see our prayers answered at a rate that is not normal, but supernatural. Father, we praise you, Lord. Jesus, continue to teach us, continue to guide us, continue to lead us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.